Hi, I'm Lauren Clash Schneider with Clash Notes for Broadway Radio. I'm here with Christian Berry, director and songwriter from Old Stock, a refugee love story, playing off-Broadway at 59 E59 Theaters. Well, hello, Christian.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being with us. Let's just dive right in, and I'm so curious. Old Stock, a refugee love story, is a dark klezmer folk musical inspired by the true story of two Russian-Romanian immigrants heading to Canada in 1908. Tell us about the source material and the story and the creation of this piece.
Sure. So it does tell the true story of my wife's great-grandparents coming to Canada from Romania. What happened was we were, Ben Kaplan, who's my co-creator, and I were talking about making something together, and the international refugee crisis was in the headlines. It was the thing we were thinking about. It was the thing we were talking about politically, socially. It was really kind of taking up a lot of space in our minds. But we didn't have a way into telling that story that didn't feel like it was going to be some version of appropriation of a story that didn't belong to us. And right around that same time, my wife took my son and her aunt to a place called Pier 21. And Pier 21 in Canada is kind of like our Ellis Island. It's where many of the refugees who eventually settled in Canada arrived on the boats when they came, kind of between the mid-1800s and the mid-1900s. And that all of a sudden became our way in. She discovered her family's immigration records and the moment that they entered the country. And all of a sudden, we kind of had a lens into what it was to be a refugee, somebody fleeing a war-torn country, looking for a place to raise a family, to fall in love, and to have a life.
Oh, my gosh, that's extraordinary. Now, for this, you wear two hats, songwriter and director. Talk a little bit about the development process as you're working with your co-creators, Hannah Moskowitz and Ben Kaplan, who you've mentioned.
Sure. So Ben and I did co-write all of the songs, and Hannah wrote all of the scenes that make up the play. The piece is kind of a strange, we call it a music theater hybrid. We don't really call it musical theater because it doesn't really come with all of the, I guess, typical trappings and structures of a typical musical. It's almost like a concert that is woven together with a play. However, after the initial stages of Hannah drafting some scenes and Ben and I writing a couple of the songs, we put them together in a room. We kind of smashed the structure together a little bit and tried to learn how one would relate to the other. You know, that in some senses, it does kind of resemble the structure of a musical like Cabaret, where the songs are always either commenting on the themes of the scenes or kind of unearthing some subtext from the scene that was there but maybe needs to be explored a little more deeply via the song. And then every once in a while, they do spill over into each other's territory a bit. So certainly once we sort of saw what each other was up to, we, I think, spilled into each other's worlds a bit and allowed Hannah's words to transform our songs, and she allowed our songs to transform the scenes. And you just kind of write to each other so it can become a holistic approach that will tell the story when you put it before an audience.
It's exquisitely done. Let's talk about the incredible four actors that play double duty as musicians. The origins of the music, their work in what they're doing, and the importance in the storytelling.
Okay. That's
a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah. What I would say is that, you know, we when we were coming up with the way in which we wanted to tell the story, we were also collaborating with designers. And we were talking about modes of modern transportation in the world. And we were talking about how we were going to ship this show around the world. And we sort of stumbled upon the image of a shipping container as that thing that is the modern mode of transportation of goods and things that are sent around the world through international commerce. But also there were residences in that shipping container of railway carts and things that have darker historical resonances specifically for Jews in World War II and things like that. So all of a sudden, once we had this concept of we're going to put this in a shipping container, which is what the set on stage is when you walk into the theater. We had this image that was almost like a New World version of a traveling band of troubadours,
mm-hmm.
where the musicians and the actors kind of come into town, open up their cart, fold out their stage, and then unfold their story before your very eyes. So that kind of concept of a traveling group of musician storytellers was kind of the, I guess, casting concept, if you will. We knew we wanted to find multi-talented performers who could play multiple roles, multiple instruments. And so Christopher Weatherstone plays Chaim, who is the kind of the main male character in the story, and he plays woodwinds, he plays saxophone, clarinet, he plays the spoons, and he sings, and he does all kinds of things. Mary Faye Cody plays Chaya, and she also plays the violin, and then we have Graham Scott, who's playing accordion and all other keyed instruments, like the piano, and Jamie Cronick plays the drums and the washboard and all other things that need to be hit. It's mostly Chris and Mary Faye who speak the text, but it is true that Jamie and Graham also kind of provide they fill out the other required background presences within the shipping container and provide two other troubadour presences within the company as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for explaining the evolution of that. It's really quite extraordinary, and my gosh, the cast is just phenomenal. The play, produced by 2B Theatre Company, originated its run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2017. Talk a little bit about the audiences there and the audiences here.
It's a good question. It is interesting. This piece, obviously, it deals with, you know, themes of migrants and the international refugee crisis, so it does resonate everywhere because everybody's talking about these themes politically and socially. However, I do think, you know, here in North America, I'm a Canadian, and here in North America, if you're not an Indigenous person, then you've got a familial connection to an immigration story. You know, everybody who's here has some connection of when their family arrived, when they decided to stay, and all the things that they may or may not have been fleeing from or leaving behind. I think because of that, the story does have kind of a more, present resonance with everybody's personal family history here in Canada, here in North America, I should say. That said, there are other more subtle differences. I mean, I love touring plays around the world because you do feel different resonances and different tones in each city and in each audience. In Edinburgh, certainly the concert theater hybrid felt more like a rock and roll concert than a play in a lot of ways. People would often have a pint in their hands while they were watching the show, and it was kind of a rowdy celebration, so that then when some of the deeper, more serious themes kind of would enter into the room, you would really feel that shift. You'd really feel that stillness. Whereas I think here in New York, people are coming in. We're in a midtown theater. You know, I think they already know to expect some of that deeper, more contemplative headspace. And so they're coming in, I guess, with a bit more of an expectation of that. And I think you can kind of flip it around here. It's almost the boisterous, riotous music that's taking audiences more by surprise here in New York.
Oh, that is such an interesting insight to it. Thank you for describing it that way. Now, the New York Times calls the play a reminder that there's a face behind each immigration form, a history attached to each petition for asylum. Christian, why do you think that themes are resonating the way that they are right now?
Well, again, I think everybody's been reading the headlines. You know, everybody knows what's going on in the world. And what we were trying to do was put a human face on that story. So I'm so glad you read that quote, because it's precisely what we hope people come away with. You know, we understand that immigration and refugees, these are difficult subjects with people who have lots of opinions about them. But what, we're not here to say exactly what the quotas should be or exactly how you should handle these political questions. What we're trying to do is put a human face on it, because it's so easy to get lost in the rhetoric politically and to not actually think about the fact that these are human beings like my ancestors were, who were leaving a difficult situation and trying to find a place to raise a family, to fall in love, and to make a life. And, you know, when my wife took my son to the museum at Pier 21, for her it was a realization that if Chaim and Chaya in 1908 hadn't taken that risk, hadn't made that sacrifice, and hadn't been met with the fortune to have been accepted into Canada, then our son wouldn't be here. And so it really brings it home that, that it's not just a political thing, but it's a human story. And so that's what we set out to do.
Well, Kristen, you're giving me goosebumps, and the humanity created with old stock of refugee love story is really quite exquisite. So I thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
I'm Lauren Klass-Snyder with Kristen Berry, songwriter and director from Old Stock, A Refugee Love Story, playing off-Broadway at 59E59 through April 22nd. Thank you.